Yeah, the Friday edition ahead of a huge NFC North matchup at Lambeau Field on Sunday of Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call at Soul Studios at the Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio with me for the time being. He's going to leave us at 1 o'clock because he's too good for us. I get it. It happens. Yeah, what do you do? You hear the voice of producer Tiny Hands, the booing of producer Tiny Hands. That is Hunter Vaughn. He is in the Everlight Solar Studio in beautiful downtown Madison. Lots to get to in regards to the Packers and the Vikings. But before we do that, I just want to say this. If the Badgers win against USC tomorrow, I will buy everybody on this panel lunch.
Wow.
You going to use that money from the winners I gave out on Wednesday show?
Big winners for Joshy.
Uh-huh. Two in a row, baby.
Couple of hires and a couple of bucks in your pocket on the Underdog app.
That's what we do.
That's what you do. I'm glad I tailed it, man. Joshy put money in my pocket. As long as Mahomes goes higher than half of a yard, which I guess we still need to happen in order to put money in my pocket.
Save for any tragedy, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. So, yeah, I'll buy you lunch if the Badgers beat USC. Now, Hunter, rumor has it you actually think they're going to beat USC.
I said on the Damn Sports Show with Corey and Wally on my appearance on Tuesday that I feel like the Badgers can cover.
Slow down. So the Damn Sports Show is a brand new show. It just came out last week or just launched last week. The Damn Sports Show, Corey Sparks, Wally Lukaczynski. Yeah, I'm getting to that. Wally Lukaczynski, Corey Sparks, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam from 4 to 5 p.m.
Yeah.
You have now appeared on that show twice.
Yep.
Are you a weekly guest?
Yeah, every Tuesday, 4:30.
Where did this come from?
It's been that way. We've been
Corey. It's been that way forever, he says.
Yeah, Corey and I have been talking about this for months. We talk a little bit of Badgers, my problems I have with self-checkout, and then we talk high school football to end it.
So what you're telling me is you bring more to that program during your once a week 15 minutes than you do to this program three times a week.
Yeah. Look, this is Mr. Irrelevant with Alex Stroff. My job on this is just to let you cook. That's what I try to do.
Yeah.
Let Hunter cook.
And Hunter cooks on the Damn Sports Show every Tuesday at 4:30 on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
Yep. The people of Beaver Dam love me.
So I didn't know this. So
breaking news to me.
Somebody told me last week, hey, you should have heard Hunter on the Damn Sports Show. And I go, that show launched 3 days ago. What do you mean? And they go, yeah, he was on it on Tuesday. Yep. And this is the first time, both off the air or on the air, Hunter has mentioned anything about this to me. So you are a big... Are you famous in Beaver Dam? I'm confused. You talk high school football. Where did this come from? I guess would be my question.
So the intent is that I talk about our ESPN Wisconsin media poll.
Oh, okay.
And talk about that. But then I was like, yeah, whatever you guys want to talk about. And on Tuesday, I was rushing to get home, but had to stop at the grocery store and had some problems with the self-checkout at the grocery store and was like, you know what? I'm going to open up with this because why not have a little bit of fun?
Wait, so
keep those two on their toes. And
is Dennis Semrau busy? Tuesdays at 4:30?
Wow.
He's the dean.
I'm also the one that like curates the entire poll. Like, geez, I get a little bit of airtime. Like, I get to call a couple of games. I get a little bit of airtime in Beaver Dam. Oh, no. Heaven forbid Hunter has airtime.
Okay. Now, hold on. One more thing. Joshy said he has a problem with what? The whole thing?
With the poll.
What's wrong with the poll? The high school football poll?
The poll and its voters have a stated bias against the Maguanago name I prefer not to use. After beating Muskego, the previously one-ranked team, they only dropped to a spot ahead of the team they just lost to, and then another win last week. They didn't move anywhere.
And you are a proud Maguanago grad.
Of course. You beat the number one team. Who becomes number one?
Number two,
typically, actually. Yes. Who becomes number one.
Yeah, and when Maguanago plays Franklin, Franklin will probably beat them. I don't think they're better than Notre Dame.
All right. Hey, We're done.
It's a bias.
Look, as much as I love high school sports and as long as I've covered high school sports, I'm not doing high school sports on a Friday before Packers Vikings.
Well, we just did it. So
yeah, too bad. Do it.
So let's go back to Wisconsin USC before we get to Packers Vikings. Hunter, you said what on the Damn Sports Show on ESPN Beaver Dam on Tuesday?
I said that with the line being at 15.5, I would definitely take the Badgers on that. I am a Badger fan, so for our graphic you'll see on social media, I did pick them to win. That's more just me being a fan. But USC is going to be beat up after Michigan ran the ball for 290 yards on them.
Wait, hold on. Now, slow down again. Slow down. You're getting ahead of yourself again. I don't know what's going on with you this Friday, but you pretty much just said, yeah, I don't think they're going to win, but I told everybody I think they're going to win. But yeah. Now you are telling us that you don't actually believe where they're going to win.
Because
but
I don't like getting called fat when people see the L by my picture on the social media graphic. So when I can, I'm going to pick the Badgers to win. So that isn't fun, okay?
So you got cyberbullied?
Yes. Last year, I picked the Badgers to lose to Washington State. They lose, and I've got the comment section, who's this fat guy that's picking them to lose? That wasn't fun for me.
That is very mean.
He gave it to the pressure.
Yeah, I did. I don't like being called fat on the internet. I'm sorry.
Hey, I don't blame you for that. I would like that either. And yeah, I don't like that people are doing that to you. Yeah, I believe that.
You should not do that anymore. But, I mean, you can't give up and just pick wins from here on out.
He's right.
I picked Bama to – no, wait, I did pick the Badgers to win. Never mind. I'm picking straight W's. I don't care.
Because I don't want to get called fat on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to take this a different way with Hunter just – he hasn't learned from his mistakes, but now I have so much more context. And, hey, you do you, brother. Whatever gets you to your next Tuesday appearance on the Damn Show, you do it, brother.
Exactly. That's what I have to do. It's tough out here.
So next Wednesday, I would like to play the best 20 seconds you provide to the Damn Sports Show on this program. You understand?
Yeah, I think I can handle that.
And I think we're going to have to book Wally or Corey or both of them from the Damn Sports Show next Wednesday to grade your performance through 3 weeks. I think that's okay. What we got to do next week. We got to make next Wednesday about Hunter.
Okay.
I know you have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Josh, you got any problems with that? Should we make next Wednesday's show about Hunter?
If he's bringing hot content like he is to the Damn Show, I'm all for it.
It's the Damn Sports Show.
Yeah, the Damn Sports Show.
Damn Show.
The Damn
Show.
The Damn Show. Jesus. All right, we've derailed this program. All right, let's dive into Packers Vikings coming up Sunday at Lambeau Field. It is Aaron Jones' homecoming. The former Packers running back makes his return to Lambeau Field for the first time since being released this offseason. We read a snippet from his Players Tribune article on Wednesday, which stated at the very end, no G on the helmet, but always one in my heart. And you know what Joshy said to me? Strofe. Those articles are written for idiots like you to eat up. And Josh, you're right. It's written for idiots like me to eat up.
Yeah.
And then I see Thursday, Aaron Jones blabbering, and I love Aaron Jones, don't get me wrong, but I see him blabbering. This was a blabber by him to the Minnesota media about what he's going to do at Lambeau Field on Sunday. Take a listen to the former Packers running back yesterday.
No, definitely. And I've definitely leaping up there. It depends on which end zone I'm scoring, but I'm either end zone is not too tall, so it is kind of high up there, but I can still get up there. So either one, hopefully there's a Vikings fan in one of them, so I can jump up to them. I think that'll be a cool, pretty cool shot, pretty cool side by side with the two jerseys and doing a Lambo leap.
So I do not like this from Aaron Jones, and I really like Aaron Jones. He was a great Packer, and he seems like such a great dude. He seems like a great hang, right, by all means of the imagination. But this seems a little bit misplaced. I understand opposing fans have been jumping and doing the Lambeau leap for decades at this point. I get that. But for you to write said article and then say said thing, it just feels like he's kind of pulling a heel turn here, is the former Packers running back, Aaron Jones. Seems like he's going, hey, guys, I love you. But by the way, I'm going to do the thing you shouldn't do, and I'm going to do it to the fans you don't like. I'm going to jump right into the arms of Vikings fans. Now, if I'm sitting in the front row of Lambeau Field, which I've never done and probably never will do, but if I'm sitting in the front row of Lambeau Field, and Aaron Jones in a Vikings jersey and helmet comes trotting my direction and jumps into the stands, boy, we've made fun of my arms this week for being weak and skinny and frail. Those weak, skinny, frail arms are pushing Aaron Jones's ass right off the stadium wall. I don't want him near me if you're scoring points against my favorite team. I was thinking about this earlier. I joined Gabe Neitzel and Joshy this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy weekday morning, 7 to 9 on ESPN Milwaukee. And I said, the only way I would embrace Aaron Jones if he was to do the Lambeau Leap is if the Packers are winning by 42 points, maybe 35 in the fourth quarter. It's got to be a total blowout. Game's got to be over. Second team defense is in. And if Aaron Jones scores a late touchdown for the Vikings, first points of the game, and then he leaps, I might embrace him then. But if this is a close game, or if it's a score to take the lead early, I don't want him anywhere near me. And if Packers fans accidentally spill their beer on his helmet on Sunday, if and when he Lambeau leaps, I'm not encouraging the behavior. I'm just not prohibiting the behavior. I'm not telling you not to do it, but I'm also not telling you to do it. But if some beer accidentally gets spilled on Aaron Jones, if and when he Lambeau leaps on Sunday, I don't see an issue with it. I don't have a problem with it. So other players have done it. Other guys have done it from opposing teams. I get it. I get it's fun. I get it. It's a great tradition. Aaron Jones has done 100 of them. I don't like this, though. Seems like he's trying to pull the heel turn but while still being likable. It's not working for you, Aaron. And to be real frank with you, I hope Aaron Jones has a great season for 15 games of the season. The two games the Vikings play the Packers, I'm rooting for like 14 fumbles. And if he really carries the G in his heart, like he referenced in his Players Tribune article, that first handoff he gets from Darnold, lose the football. Make it look like an accident. Or an accidental fumble, got punched out. Second carry from Sam Darnold when they're running back out there, just hand it to Rashawn Gary coming off the edge. Go ahead, Rashawn. There's six for you, brother. The G's really in your heart. I'm joking, but I don't like this from Aaron Jones. I hope he stays out of the end zone. I hope we don't even have to see this. Thing I am excited to see, though, is this matchup for the first time since 2022. That would be Jair Alexander, the Packers cornerback, and who I have called many times this week, the best player on the planet, Justin Jefferson. I think he's the best football player on the planet, maybe aside from Patrick Mahomes. You didn't get to see it last year. Jefferson missed the October game. I might have that backwards. I think Jair missed the October game, and Jefferson missed the December game between these two teams. And it is just a terrific matchup. Last time these two matched up was, of course, the gritty game. The game where Jair Alexander gritted on Justin Jefferson, held him to one catch for 15 yards, which was the lowest statistical game Jefferson has had in his NFL career here, now in year five. Jefferson's amazing. I mean, he is just an unbelievable talent. He is such a great wide receiver. Jair has looked at like the Jair of old, though, here, three games into this season. First career pick six last week against Tennessee, shutting receivers down and making a terrific impact in the defensive backfield, which has probably been the brightest spot of this Packers defense through 3 weeks, is the defensive backfield with Jair and, of course, the addition of the NFL leader in interception, Xavier McKinney. Really, really good 1-2 punch in the backfield. Jair looking like the Jair of old. I hope he brings the Jair of old. When he's shutting down Justin Jefferson, talk that smack. When he's shutting down Justin Jefferson, hit that gritty. And Justin Jefferson spending time in the Minnesota media this week saying, you know, every team does this to me. Their corner always cares more about their matchup with me than I care about my matchup with them. And to a point, I believe that because he is one of, if not the best football player on the planet. Every team is scheming against him. Every team is figuring out how to slow Justin Jefferson down because it is a really damn hard thing to do. Damn hard thing to do. Jair's done it before And Justin Jefferson knows that and hasn't forgotten that. So for a guy that says, it means more to him, it doesn't really bother me, I'm not thinking about it. He also had this to say yesterday when meeting with the Minnesota Medium. Here's Justin Jefferson talking about the gritty and his matchup with Jair Alexander.
Yeah, and I think that was, what, week 17 at that point of the season? It is what it is. Just like I said, he likes to do that stuff to get inside someone's head. I'm not really tripping on that. I'm going to just get my get back by gritting in his end zone. So I'm not tripping on it at all. I'm excited for the matchup.
For a guy that's not tripping to hit him with, I'm going to get my gritty back in his end zone. Seems like you might be tripping a little bit. I'm not saying Jair's consuming 100% of his brain capacity. But for a guy that's not tripping, I'm going to get my gritty back in his end zone. It seems like there's still a little bit of beef here between Jair and Justin Jefferson. And good. There should be beef. Beef is good for football. Rivalries are good for football. Trash talk is good for football. And when it comes to this rivalry, one that's maybe been on the back burner the last few years with the Lions come up, with the Packers faltering and making the transition. This Sunday is a rejuvenation of this rivalry between the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. The Vikings undefeated. The Packers just a game back. And this rivalry renewed between Jair Alexander and Justin Jefferson for the first time since the 2022 NFL season. One way or another, we're going to see a gritty at Lambeau Field on Sunday. But will it be Justin Jefferson getting his gritty back in the Packers' end zone? Or will it be Jair Alexander showing that he still is one of the best cornerbacks in all of football and grittying on Justin Jefferson's grave?
At what point in the game, though, does Jair gritty? Because, like, you can't do it if you just break up a pass in, like, the first quarter. Because then, like, Jefferson could still go off for 250 and three touchdowns or something. Like, I feel like you've got to hold that until late enough in the game where, like, you've clearly beaten him on the day. Because it just looks bad if you do it in the first quarter and then you get cooked the rest of the game.
He did it late in the game last time. And I would imagine it might be more of the same. However, it's Jair. As we know about Jair Alexander, he's a tad unpredictable.
Just a little.
Just a tad unpredictable. So would I be shocked if the very first Minnesota offensive drive of the game, it's 3rd and 6, and Jair Alexander bats down a pass? Would I be surprised if he started grittying? No. It's all about the mental game with Jair. He's going to talk that smack. He's going to hit the gritty maybe more than once. I would guess he does it earlier than later, and hopefully the Packers get the last laugh. You miss one, but I could be wrong. But Jair is unbelievably unpredictable, and I imagine that he'll be jaw-jacking quite a bit come Sunday as the Vikings and Packers match up at Lambeau Field. Packers still listed as 2.5-point favorites at Lambeau Field Sunday. Jordan Love, will he play? We'll get to that coming up next, but first, got to tell you about my friends at Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Fall is here. Get it going with that apple brandy. How about a hot toddy? You can make a pumpkin-themed drink. The apple brandy is versatile. It is good. A hot cocktail, cold cocktail. You can do it all. Check out their website, doorcountydistillery.com. For a unique list of cocktail recipes, you can hit the drop-down box and pick what you want in your drink. You could select maybe just the apple brandy, or you could select multiple things. If you want to mix a couple different liquors up in a cocktail this weekend or this fall, DoorCountyDistillery.com. And you know me, football season is whiskey season. The Door County Distillery bourbon is delicious. They also have the 27-time gold medal award-winning single malt whiskey from Door County Distillery. Available near you in the state of Wisconsin. Just go to your liquor store. They'll have it. And if they don't, check their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com, for the retailer nearest you. But it's available everywhere in Milwaukee and Madison and Green Bay and Door County and Stevens Point. Wherever you're at, Door County Distillery has you covered. DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website. We'll step aside. When we come back, we talk Jordan Love. We take a look at the NFC North. We make our underdog picks ahead of week 4 of the NFL season. I've got an entry in for the Packers-Vikings game. We'll also take a look at some other games when we make our underdog picks. Now, that's all still coming up when we come back. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strope. Where in the world is Door County Distillery today? It brings me to Sugar River Pizza, the legendary in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Let's go to the bar. Let's see what they've got. We're here in the beautiful bar at Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie. My guy Kyle just mixed me up a cherry brandy old fashioned with the cherry brandy from Door County Distillery. It's delicious. I tell you it all the time. It's proven it right here. The best.
I'll tell you what, Kyle can make a cocktail.
All right, power ranking. Top three drinks to have from Door County Distillery. We're going 3-1. Number three, it's a split decision, but they're both on the rocks. Either the 27-time gold medal award-winning single malt whiskey or my personal favorite, the bourbon, right on the rocks. Nice Sunday night, end the weekend. I love it. That's number three. Number two, the Cherry Cosmo with that green bottle of gin. That thing tastes like summer. It's unbelievable. It's delicious. You got to try it. Check out the recipe. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Number one, it's in my left hand right now with the cherry brandy made with local Door County cherries, the cherry brandy old fashioned. That's my list, but there's no wrong answers. You got to find out for yourself. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Let me know what you think in the comments below. Yeah, DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website for that. So it's obviously been the question for the last 3 weeks for the Packers. Will Jordan Love play? I feel like we've asked that question 800 times over the course of the last few weeks. We know the answer the last 2 weeks was ultimately no, Malik Willis will. And it worked. WW in the score sheet as the Packers advanced to 2-1 after the 0-1 start in which they lost to the Eagles and Jordan Love went down with the sprained MCL. But the question has kicked up a notch. Last Wednesday, Jordan Love returned to practice on a limited basis, has been practicing all of this week on a limited basis, warmed up Sunday in Tennessee, although we knew he wasn't going to play. Today, a video emerging of Jordan Love running and getting ready for some team drills in the Packers practice. Now, the old rule of thumb for evaluating injuries like this and whether a player or not will return or not is typically their designation for Friday's practice. If he's a full participant, you can anticipate he will be a go for Sunday. If he's a limited participant, that doesn't necessarily rule him out. It just looks like maybe he's a little bit behind schedule or there's some gamesmanship going on. When it comes to the way Matt LaFleur has spoke about Jordan Love, it seems like there might be a tad of gamesmanship being played. L-I-M-I-T-E-D. Limited is what Matt LaFleur continues to say about the Packers star quarterback. I would anticipate Jordan Love will be back this weekend. It's been the date circled on the calendar since we got the diagnosis several weeks ago. It was either this game or next week against the Rams, but all the news, all the reports we've been hearing is Jordan Love is trending in the right direction. And that is good news for us as Packers fans. As Jordan Love returns in the Packers' biggest game thus far. Week one was a big one, and it was a good challenge, and the Packers put up a good fight. A loss is a loss, but it happens. Malik Willis did his job as well as you could have asked. A win and a win. Efficient, didn't turn the ball over. Malik Willis did his job. When it comes to Jordan Love now, the question is, will he be able to do his job at a full capacity? Will he be 100% healthy if/when he takes the field on Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings? The mobility, the videos you're seeing from practice, if you're reading as deep into it as I am, is a good sign. He's running around. His knee doesn't look like it's in too much pain, and it looks like he can be back to, if not close, to 100%. I'm nervous about the mobility factor, but I'm confident that, of course, Jordan Love is a better option than the backup quarterback Malik Willis. If Love is the starter against the Vikings, I think the Packers have a really good shot to win the game. If he is not the quarterback for the Packers, I start losing hope because the Minnesota Vikings are not the Tennessee Titans and they are not the Indianapolis Colts. Despite what we felt in the preseason about the Vikings, they're a good football team. They're 3-0 with wins over the 49ers and the Texans in the last 2 weeks. Those are big wins, regardless of the injuries, regardless of some of the dysfunction that's maybe going on in Houston. This is a really good football team, and the Packers have a very big challenge at their home field on Sunday. This will play a big implication into what the standings look like a quarter of the way through the season, and I can't believe that, right? This is week 4 already of 17 in the regular season. The NFL season just always flies. But here we are in week four, and the Packers, for the second straight year, have a really big matchup in week four against a divisional opponent. The winner of this game Sunday will enter week five in first place of the NFC North. Regardless of what the Lions do, a divisional win means more. And the Packers and the Vikings go mano a mano with first place, at least for the time being, on the line. So, yeah, you're going to want Jordan Love in that game. And look, Love hasn't played since week one. But he knows this offense. He is this offense. We saw the way he elevated the guys around him. We saw the way that Josh Jacobs looked both week one and when Love was out. This is a team that doesn't desperately need Love, but they could certainly use him if they want to get a win on Sunday. So while you can be skeptical and you can go, huh, why is Matt LaFleur talking that way? Why is he not being definitive with his status? I would guess Jordan Love is playing on Sunday, and it's going to be a big return. Home field, divisional matchup, gold package game for all the Milwaukee ticket holders. The energy is going to be through the roof. I just took a little shot at the gold package people. Joshy, do I have an issue with the gold package? Am I realizing I might have an issue with the gold package, even though I didn't realize it?
You're a gold package snob. All those dorks on Packers Twitter, the blogosphere, the people you rub elbows with, they all have the same thing. New gold package, they're not good enough fans. They haven't had the tickets long enough. And it's gotten to your brain.
It's not that that's the case, but I was talking to somebody upstairs who is a gold package holder who heard us talking about this on Jim Game and Chewy, and he said, I agree with you. When my grandparents passed these down to me, they said, never sell them. Always go friend or family because you don't want to give it away to the other fan. Gabe Neitzel cited a stat this morning. 19% of tickets on the secondary market have been sold to Vikings fans. That's one of every five at Lambeau Field on Sunday in terms of resold tickets will be Vikings fans. That doesn't make my heart happy. Hunter, go ahead.
I also think it's a Fox Valley fan thing because like my parents aren't gold package or season ticket holders, but just being up in the Fox Valley my whole life, that's just how they feel about Milwaukee fans. There is a little talked about riff between Fox Valley and Milwaukee area fans when it comes to the Packers.
Yeah. I don't understand why there's a riff. They only saved the franchise. Should be kissing their feet, welcoming them in every time they come to town.
I knew you were going to say that. They only saved the franchise. They did. He's right about that. But the energy just might not be as high as you'd like it for a return game for Love. And
let's be honest, it's much less just a gold versus green package thing. It's the age of many people who hold tickets. The reason the list is like you have to wait till you're 185 years old to be come up for tickets. Like a lot of people either physically can't or are more reluctant to brave the weather, all the walking, things of that nature. It's much more difficult. And those tickets, even though they are a community-owned team, they like to raise them at every chance they get.
There they sure do.
A bump.
They sure do.
Bump every, and I don't fault anybody for getting their paying for their package of tickets with selling one per year.
I wouldn't argue with that. I wouldn't argue with that. But we will see. We will see. Hopefully the energy is high and they prove me wrong. Hopefully I'm just giving them a little pep in their step, Joshy. Because the rumor has it they need it. But this is a big one. When it comes to the NFC North, Lions play Monday night. They host the 3-0 Seattle Seahawks. And the Bears, they play Sunday at noon against the LA Rams in Chicago. Both of those teams, 1-2. So, some big games going on. Some rather big games going on in the NFC North this weekend. The Packers, like I said, if they win, they are in sole possession of first place. They would technically be tied with the Lions if they end up beating the Seahawks on Monday. But a divisional win's a divisional win. And you know the way head coaches and the way people in the building stress the importance of these divisional games. Minnesota's 3-0. I know nobody saw that coming, but it's reality. It's what the Packers have to deal with on Saturday. And if they lose, it's okay. You're only 2-2. You still got high hopes. You're just getting Jordan Love back, and this offense is probably not even close to hitting its real stride because it seems under Matt LaFleur, The Packers offense typically hits its stride in late November, early December, and then onward, as we saw last year with Jordan Love and the team. So we will see as the way they attempt to hit their stride and begin to hit their stride over the course of the next few weeks. I'm fired up about this game. I think this is one of the best games on the slate this weekend. Given the way the Vikings have played and that defense hums, and the way Sam Darnold has played as the quarterback of the Vikings, they're a good team. And the Packers getting Love back with an offense that has looked, albeit not super pass-happy, really solid without Love the last 2 weeks. The run was established. LaFleur's creativity was being challenged, and it was awesome. I mean, he was trotting out a really fun product even without his star quarterback. They're going to draw some fun stuff up this weekend. And it's going to be interesting to see what Matt LaFleur designs. If Love is at 80% or 90%, if Love is not fully 100%, LaFleur is going to have to get creative. And he'll scheme something up. He'll design something up that looks pretty. It's what he does best. Packers are one of the best head coaches, best offensive coaches in all of football. I think Packers win if Love plays. I feel really good about whether or not they win if Love plays. If Love doesn't play, I think they can still find a way. It just might not be very pretty. And Aaron Jones might be doing more than one Lambo late. We will see. We'll see. All right, time to flip over to Underdog. Underdogfantasy.com, the Underdog app. All you got to do, you look at player projections on their stats. You pick higher or lower, and you can win up to 1,000 times your money. You can pick anywhere between 2 player projections to 8 player projections in your pick 'em entry, and you can win up to 1,000 times your money. Right now on the Underdog app and UnderdogFantasy.com, at sign up, if you enter code GOODKARMA, GOODKARMA, Good Karma, all one word, at sign up, you can receive up to $1,000 in bonus cash and a free pick. The free pick going on this weekend on the NFL slate, Patrick Mahomes, higher than half of a yard passing, is a free pick, which was part of the entry Joshy gave out on Wednesday. It was all hires. It was higher on C.D. Lamb yards. It was higher on Malik Nabers yards and higher on Patrick Mahomes. Half a yard. And it hit. Those are winners. I'm going to give you a winner for this Sunday for Green Bay. And we can even take a look at some of the other games going on the Underdog app, because there is one in particular that really intrigues me.
I had a tough night on Underdog.
Did you?
This is... I have just started using it, so still trying to figure things out. So obviously took the Patrick Mahomes free, that half a yard. You have to do it. Take the higher on that. Thought that the Cowboys rush defense would be garbage, so I went with the Devin Singletary higher than half a rushing or receiving touchdown. He did not score. Went Jake Ferguson higher than 49.5 receiving yards. Hit 49 yards. They gave him a garbage spot in the fourth quarter. He would have had 50 yards.
Yep.
And then went higher on CeeDee Lamb, a rushing or receiving touchdown in the first quarter. They're moving the ball down the field. They get into the red zone, and they stop drawing up anything for their best player on offense. And then he scores a 55-yarder early in the second quarter.
It's good news you're not giving out picks.
Yeah. I'm going to figure this out, but I'm struggling.
Here's
early.
How you figure it out. You listen to me. You listen to Joshy.
I know.
You're going to win money.
I know, but I'm trying to be my own man. I'm trying to do my own thing, and it just hasn't worked early.
Hey, wolves survive in packs, brother. Wolves survive in packs. All right, let's get you a win this weekend. I've got a 3-pick entry on Underdog entered right now, but I'll walk you through it on the website. You can see it on the screen if you're watching on the YouTube stream or if you're listening on the podcast feed. Here's all you got to do. Download the Underdog app. Enter promo code GOODKARMA, make a deposit. You get a deposit match up to $1,000. And you get a free pick, which is that Mahomes pick, but I'm not going to use that here in my Packers-Vikings entry. We'll start with Jordan Love, higher than 1.5 passing touchdowns. I think he balls out in his return. How about the other quarterback, Sam Darnold? No, I'm not picking higher on his yards. I'm not picking higher on his touchdowns. I'm picking higher on an interception. I think the Packers defense keeps it rolling the way they have been. So I think Sam Darnold throws an interception. I will take the higher on that. And then just a quick 3-pick entry. Jaden Reed, higher than 47.5 passing yards. And Underdog, by the way, right now has a bonus on the app, a 20% profit boost. So I use that on there. Pays me six times my money. So 10 bucks wins you 60. Jordan, if Jordan Love goes higher than 1.5 passing touchdowns, Sam Darnold throws an interception, and Jaden Reed has at least 48 yards receiving. Boom. Clean your hands. Easy money on the Underdog app, underdogfantasy.com, and the Underdog app. Now, I'm going to clear that because there is one game that is really piquing my interest. That, of course, is the Sunday night game this weekend. It is a great game. It is Baltimore. It is Buffalo. That game, does that have my attention Sunday night? Now, what I've learned, see, these have been winners for me every week, is the Josh Allen longest rush is always too low. So you got to take the higher. It's 11 and a half yards. Josh Allen has a 12-yard rush. You got it. When it comes to Lamar Jackson, he's a little bit higher, 16 and a half. I still like the higher there. So all we're going to do is a little two-pick entry. Josh Allen higher on his longest rush of 11 and a half. Lamar Jackson higher on his longest rush of 16 and a half. Three times. 10 bucks to win 30. 20 bucks to win 60. 50 bucks to win 150. I think that's easy. Sunday night, you're just hoping the quarterbacks run the football a little bit. Just like that, we'll submit the entry. 1, 2, 3. Easy as that. Use promo code GOODKARMA at sign up. $1,000 match. Up to $1,000 match. And a free pick at sign up. Here's your Underdog picks for the weekend. Jordan Love, higher than a touchdown and a half. Sam Darnold, higher than a half of an interception. Jaden Reed, higher than 47 and a half receiving yards. That's one entry. And my Sunday night entry, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, higher than the longest rush projections on Underdog. All right, you learn something new every day. We learn something new today. We start with Hunter Vaughn. It's time for what we learned.
I'm just going to start with playing a quick video here from yesterday. Ooh, in Oakland.
You brought materials.
I did.
It's the walks out to the BART ramp. I mean, how about this?
That's awesome.
So real quick, for those of you watching on the or listening on the podcast side, that was a video of a grounds crew member shoveling dirt into water bottles at the Oakland A's final home game. Continue, Hunter.
Yeah, and this video is just, it was everything that is wrong with sports to me. And that's what it symbolizes. Because John Fisher literally had a movie made about his ball club because he was too cheap to field a competitive team. So Billy Beane had to get creative and figure out a way to work the system to get a competitive baseball team. The CBA then had to be reworked to force Oakland to try and come up with a solution for a new stadium. And he said, okay, I'll just throw my hands up. Oh, the city won't work with me. I'll go and move to Vegas, a city that doesn't really actually want them. They just want entertainment there. So it's going to be a stadium filled up with visiting fans for a franchise that didn't deserve it. And then the fans were like, we're tired of you as an owner. We're going to boycott it. And the first thing you said to me in the pre-show meeting for this was, well, the fans don't show up. Yeah, because they're tired of their owner. Like, at least Mark Antanasio, for all of the issues that I've had that the Brewers do with their parking thing and everything like that, the guy at least tries to get a semi-competitive baseball team in Milwaukee. And he's been able to do that. So if he goes to the state and the city and says, you know what, can you help us fund renovations for the stadium? I'm at least more inclined as a fan to be okay with it. I'm still not a huge fan of it, but I'm at least inclined to because the owner has at least taken efforts to put out some sort of a respectable product. John Fisher never did that for this team. That franchise has been worse since he bought it, and it's pathetic. And I'm so sad for the city of Oakland that he made this happen to that city. They didn't deserve it.
All right. There you go. Hunter Vaughn with his Oakland A's passionate rant. Wonder what our buddy Colin Russo thinks, who is a an Oakland A's fan. You can listen to him now, Russo Rizzo, ESPN 106.3 in West Palm Beach, Florida. Yeah, I mean, it sucks for everybody, but it's probably financially the correct move for the cheap owner.
But, like, that doesn't make it okay. This is what is terrible about sports. For everything that people want to complain about with NIL and college football and the old heads saying that that's awful for college sports and that's what's ruining it. No, it's owners like John Fisher that are ruining sports because they get greedy and they've got to make the cheap decisions and the cost-saving decisions and instead of actually thinking about like, hey, yeah, I should try and do things to like make things better and worthwhile.
But here's the thing. You can have this angry rant. You can say it's ruining baseball. Guess what you're going to watch all next week and the following week and the week after? Baseball.
But guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to support guys like John Fisher.
When were you ever supporting him in the first place?
Have you ever bought
a piece of memorabilia of the Oakland A's? No. Have you ever gone to the ballpark? No.
But then what was your reaction when I first brought this up to you?
It was that the fans haven't gone in the first place.
Right there. The fans were doing their job. And not supporting this team as an owner.
But they were doing it before all of this started, too.
Because he wasn't doing anything to put a competitive team out there.
See, that I don't disagree with. But that's not going to change, and he's still going to make money hand over fist. The Oakland A's aren't going to lose anything because they're moving to a city that is becoming a booming sports city. When you look at the Vegas Golden Knights and the Raiders, they're selling out games left and right. And sure, it might be like it was in Nashville this past weekend for me, where it's a ton of visiting fans. But guess what? John Fisher still wins. I'm not saying it is good for the fans. I'm not saying it's good for baseball. I'm just saying John Fisher's going to end up on top. And that's why he's making the decision he's making.
And then maybe guys like John Fisher shouldn't be surprised when they see people talking about eat the rich.
Yeah, true. That I won't argue with. I'm not arguing with it. Just saying. He made the move for a reason, and it's not because the A's were selling out every game prior to when these discussions started. It's unfortunately the reality. So there you go. There's what we learned. Hunter with a really fiery rant. I liked it. All right, that does it for us. We're back with you Monday beginning at 12:30 on the ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. Joshy will rejoin us Monday. Hunter's back with us Monday. Wednesday, we already have a packed show. We're going to have Hunter on the Damn Sports Show every Tuesday at 4:30, ESPN Beaver Day. I didn't know this was a thing. That's what I learned today, is Hunter's a superstar.
Hunter's just in Beaver Day.
Hunter's a media savant. The more you know. All right, we're back with you Monday. Enjoy the weekend. Badgers are going to lose the USC. Spoiler alert. And we'll see what happens Sunday. What's the spread in Badgers USC?
15.5.
Yeah, they should cover. Lose by a respectable 14.
I think they get it close. I think it's going to be close to a single digit loss, if I'm being completely honest. Like, I think the Badgers are going to do enough to run the ball late in the game. They're going to get a touchdown.
Do you trust Braden Locke?
I trust him more than Alex Orji throwing the ball. And we saw what Michigan was able to do against USC's defense. Like, I think Braden Locke's a better thrower of the ball than Alex Orji. So, right there alone, I think that Wisconsin's going to have a much better chance because USC won't be able to completely sell out to the run like they were doing against Michigan. And Michigan still ran for 290 yards on.
That's true. But Wisconsin ain't Michigan. We'll see. Maybe they prove me wrong. Maybe they look good. Maybe they cover. Maybe they win. But I'm not feeling too good about it, especially after the bye week. It just seems like this team doesn't have an identity. We'll see, though. I hope they prove me wrong because I would like a good college football product to root for the remainder of the season. But we will see. Packers-Vikings Sunday. I'm with you beginning at 9 a.m. on ESPN Wisconsin 620 WTMJ. For Green Bay Game Day, Gabe Neitzel, Jarrett Bush, Rob Domofsky, Jason Wilde all join me throughout from 9 to noon. You can also watch that on YouTube, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube as we get you set for kickoff just outside of Lambeau Field for the first NFC North game of the season. Not just for these two teams, of all four. First matchup in division for any of the four teams in the division at Lambeau Field on Sunday. I can't wait. It's going to be a barn burner. It's going to be a good game. I'm excited for this one. Packers-Vikings. Has a big game feel. I love that this early in the season. It's still September. We got a big game feel. Can't wait. All right, back with you Monday. We'll talk to you then. It's Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Stroh. Peace.